Good morning, friends, and good morning to all of those in Minnetonka, in Woodside, and those worshiping online. Glad that we can celebrate on this beautiful today, sunshine day, spring day, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great to be together. You want to hear some good news? I love good news. I get enthusiastic. I go, yeah, I want to hear good news. You want to hear some good news? Yeah. Last night, I got a text about 9 p.m. from Shugberry and our prison ministry team, and they baptized 66 prisoners last night at the Shakopee prison. So let's give thanks to God for the work that's happening. When we talk about the movement of Jesus Christ around the Twin Cities, we're seeing evidence of it everywhere. And we're grateful for that work and that whole team that faithfully serves on Saturday nights in the prison and all that God did in it last night. Let me just add on to that just a personal gratitude on this important day as the gift intention cards are coming in for the Kaboom series, that we are right now at $3 million of the $4 million goal. So by Wednesday night, we need to make a decision as a leadership board, big decisions ahead. But let me just say thank you to everybody who's already gotten your cards in. And we're trusting God for the future, what he has. But many of you have written on the back of your intention cards why you're giving. And there are some powerful stories. I just want to say, I'm going to try to put those together. We're going to find a way to give you some of the stories of how God is at work. So thanks for your generosity. It's going to be a big week for us. Excited about it. For today, we're continuing Friendology. So I invite you to take out your teaching notes. You'll find the message there. You can download that if you're worshiping online with us. Because the Bible has a lot to say about the kinds of people that we invite into the proximity of our soul space, our friendship worlds. They are adders, they are subtractors, there are dividers, and there are multipliers. And so I put them under the canopy of this thing called friendology because we long for people to be trusted, especially our friends. We want to know that we can trust them. I love the story of the 9-year-old little boy who's walking along the beachside, observing the different people, noticed a pregnant woman sitting underneath a beach umbrella into the sand, and he decided to approach her and did, and asked her several really pertinent and important questions. He walked over and asked her, first of all, are you a Christian? And she thought that was an odd question coming from a 9-year-old, but yeah, I am a Christian. Do you read the Bible every day? Well, not every day, but most often I do. Do you pray all the time? Well, yeah, I pray a lot. And then he had the courage to ask the fourth question, would you take my dollar bill so I could go swimming? Yeah, I know, take a moment. He was looking for somebody he could trust. And we're all looking for people we can trust. But we cannot trust everybody. No, we got to pay attention to it. In fact, Proverbs 12:26 says it this way. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And there is this picture of a friendship that we have of someone who sticks with us. And it's an important gift to have in that given reality. In fact, the righteous choose their friends carefully, Proverbs 12:26 says. But the way of the wicked leads them astray. Wicked means ungodly, that there is a wisdom when God's way is our way and we align ourselves with it, but there are ungodly forces that seek to pull us away from God. So it says, the righteous choose their friends carefully, cautiously. They investigate, they search out, who do I allow into that given space? We do it because friendship is just one of the sweetest joys of life and one of the bitter realities that come to us as well. In fact, friends can influence us toward God and even away from God. It's friends that can bring an increase to our emotional well-being or a decrease to our sense of well-being. It's friends that can make us completely self-absorbed or nurture us to become more other-centered. We need friends, and we need safe friends. I think many of you, I can't tell you how many people sent me email links this week to the Today Show feature. They did a theme this past week on loneliness. And I'm not doing in this series on friendship the subject of loneliness, but I really should add a message and I'll find some place to do it. But sociologists are saying that we're living in what is called the loneliness epidemic, that we are more connected in our time and place than we ever have been in our history, and we are more alone in our time and place than we ever have been in history. And so I've received all these links from many of you, so I decided to watch them, and they're really good. And I am not going to be addressing the subject. I just want to give a shout out to NBC. I don't do that very often, but they have a video called The Unloneliness Project and The Power of Friendship. They're really helpful. though I'm not addressing the subject, if you find yourself alone today, just dealing with loneliness, go to the site. You'll find some help there. And if we can do anything as a church to come alongside, please, let's do it. Well, last week, we opened up this series with a message called Adders. And can I tell you, it was just a lot of fun preparing that message and very fun preaching that message. It was an upper kind of message, very different than today's message, which is about subtractors and dividers. And I was undone by the weight of what the scripture says about subtractors and dividers. Not nearly as fun to put this message together. In fact, there was so much the scripture says, wasn't even sure how to package it and say, in my brief 30 minutes, what, Lord, am I to say? And so let's begin with the definition. That to subtract means simply to withdraw or to take away from the part of a whole. And to divide means to separate or to sunder or to cut off. I want to point it out. When we talk about subtractors and dividers, we're not talking about siloed behaviors. We're talking about a continuum. That people start out as subtractors and they can end up being dividers. And so we want to pay attention to that continuum in the message today, because there can be subtle little takeaways that people have in your life, subtracting, taking away a piece of your whole piece by piece, or there could be more dramatic kinds of cutting off of relationship. They're very different, but they tend to land on the same continuum. In fact, I'll have a confession. I tuned into American Idol this week. Is that okay? Not asking you to. You don't have to. Some of you go like, why would you watch American Idol? I like music. Would be one reason. But I had heard about Kelly Clarkson's new song called Piece by Piece. Wow, Google American Idol and just watch it. It's very moving. The song is the true story of her relationship with her father, a subtractor. And when she was of age 6, the lyric includes, these little pieces that were taken up piece by piece, she was losing her sense of worth and identity. And then eventually abuse. On that continuum, it went to abuse and abandonment. Eventually, he just left. But then how God blessed her with a man, and there's a beautiful little lyric in her song, a man who could be kind and stay, an adder. It's a song about subtractors and adders. Music is a powerful way to encapsulate so much of what Scripture says. It's not a Christian song, but it speaks to the truth of who we are in relationships. And we all have subtractors in our lives. So I want to just be straight up and honest with you today. As I was preparing, I had a lot of concerns. To do this in 30 minutes, you could leave here with such a misunderstanding of what I'm going to say. So I'm just going to ask, would you just guard your hearts and go before the Holy Spirit with me and just pray that the Spirit speaks to you truth about your situation? Because it's just easy to start with subtractors and create the profile of a subtractor and then have a stone in our hand getting ready to throw the stone at that given individual. It would be very easy for you to hear this message, and I'll be watching, by the way, for this kind of behavior when he goes, he's talking to you right now. Pay attention. Well, let's keep your elbows to yourself, whatever these are. Will you just walk humbly with me into really sensitive scriptures about the reality of who we are, because you probably possess some of the characteristics of a subtractor and maybe even a divider. So we want to look at what others do to us, but it begins with us saying, God, open my eyes first before I pick up any stones and grant wisdom. Because I don't want you to leave and say, Pastor Joel said this, so get out of my life. Do not do that, please. Let the Holy Spirit guide your steps concerning the future. But my hope is that you'll have an ear to hear, you'll become more aware, that you will see unsafe patterns that you may be exhibiting yourself, but others might be exhibiting in your life, that you will have the courage to do what is right and good for your own soul, as well as others. That was a little sensitive. You with me on that? So we just ask for the Lord's help. So who are these subtractors and dividers? Well, the life of a subtractor is based on a foundation that says, it's all about me, it's all for me, I'll do what it takes to take care of me. It's the me quotient. And they often do not realize how much they are subtracting in other people's lives. They may not even know that they're doing that. So let's just take a look at the Word of God. I had to prioritize. There's so much out there, and I struggled. I really did, and I chose 8 things. I did a prioritization process. I go, I think these patterns are most important to bring to the surface. There are many more than these. And ask that the Spirit that would direct you in these different categories, which, by the way, a subtractor or a divider may not have all 8 of these. but may have a combination of several, or may we have one primary one. So you have to be discerning to that end. Let's jump into it, will you? Subtractors are, first of all, deceptive manipulators. But you can't put manipulators into one bucket. Let me give you three buckets of manipulators, three different kinds. There are take-charge manipulators. They feel the need to be smarter and stronger than you and everybody else in the room. They take charge. They will tell you where we're having dinner and what we're going to do and even what movie we will go to. They, in fact, will oftentimes fact check the kind of conversation that might be happening around the dinner table when somebody speaks in a way that they don't think is appropriate or grammatically is incorrect. They will fact check everybody's language and call it out. Again, elevating themselves. They use humor to put down you and your friends. It's an interesting thing. Humor feels so funny to everybody in the room, except for the person who just felt a knife in their back with the funny thing that got said. And you can sense it when you're paying attention to that dynamic. There are take-charge manipulators. But then there are poor me manipulators, who are opposite than take-charge kinds of manipulators in that they use their weakness to draw people in to their lives and their circle. They can draw you in by making you feel sad about what they're going through at the given time. Or they can draw you in by making you feel even guilty that your life is so much better than theirs, therefore they're somewhat entitled to what you have to help them in their poor me kind of place. In fact, I'll give you three words that come to mind when dealing with poor me manipulators: messy, needy, and drama. That is to say, subtractors are often needy people with complex, messy lives who oftentimes are filled with constant drama. It just seems like there's one drama after another drama, and the next drama. They are drama people, and they try to draw you in to be a main character in their drama story and hold you in that given place. And then there's a third bucket, and that is there are need-to-be-needed manipulators, which, by the way, all of us are on a continuum of needing to be needed, okay? To love and to be loved and all of that. But the dysfunction is this pattern wherein they become clutchers, or I have a name for them as well, Velcro people. They just find ways to stick to you and put some glue in the Velcro occasionally to hold it all together. But they find their sense of identity and worth by being with you. They need you to have some sense of well-being. So at their core, they just want to be accepted and loved. They want to feel like they matter, but they often use people to help get them there. And so they artfully manage to disguise themselves as good for you when, in fact, they might be using you for their own gain. Proverbs 27 speaks to it. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. If you were here last week, I used this verse to talk about adders. Adders are people whom you trust, and they can speak directly. They can get in your face, but you know they're doing it because they're trying to help your life get better. They're with you in it. You do that mutually with each other in that kind of case. But here the text is reminding us that there are also subtractors in this, and that subtractors will kiss up to you deceptively, and they will manipulate you to get what they in fact need from you and then probably move away from you. The second quality I want to bring out is similar but different than the manipulator. Subtractors are master controllers. They move on that continuum that I spoke about from subtracting in little pieces here and there to eventually dividing and cutting you off from anyone or anything that might make you lose interest in them, because they want access to you and they want to control that access. So dividers are tricky people, because when they show up in your life, they tend to be compelling. You feel like they're major value add to your life and your journey, and it's only over time that you begin to see that they're starting to squeeze the space of your life out to the end, that others are not welcome in it, and other things aren't welcome in it, just their things and them, and all of a sudden they're cutting you off from people who have been your friends in the past or keeping others at bay. And Proverbs 16 speaks to it this way: a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. They divide close friends. They take people whom you've always had in your life, and all of a sudden there's just no time or margin and maybe even interest. But you contrast that behavior with that of an adder, because adders celebrate your growth that comes by having many friends in your circle. They welcome friends. They include, they don't exclude. In fact, the lover of your life lets the beloved be free to enjoy, to grow, rather than possessing and suffocating you. They create space and grow you. I just want to say again, because it's so important, that sometimes subtractors, especially on the subtle end of it, but even as they move on the continuum, may not be aware that they're subtractors. They may not even know it. This could be part of their life and their journey along the way, because they've been formed that way, even when they're young children. Because anyone who's raised a young child knows that they begin to exercise the power of manipulation and control pretty early on. It's astonishing. In fact, anybody seen your toddler take a cup at the high chair when they're eating and put it onto the floor and then begin to laugh? And who picks it up? You do. You pick it up, you go, oh, here you go. And then they see, oh, you picked it up. They throw it again and again and again along the way. And they're beginning to exercise control. And we make a game out of it on the front end. But there comes a point when it's no longer a game. And something moves into the realm where you're annoyed. And everything in you says, this needs to stop. And wise parents begin to teach the stopping of that pattern, because they know that very mindset. If they get to win in that situation again and again, they will take that into their relationships as they grow older. They will drop things and expect other people to pick it up. They will draw people in around the power of that kind of manipulation. The third subtractor quality is addicted users. That is, they don't really care about who you are, only about what you have, what they can take from you for themselves. Their goal is to make themselves better by being in your proximity or taking your resources, your time, your gifts, whatever it might be, to get their fix. They show up with their needs and expect you to stop your life to help meet their needs. And they hang around you as long as you meet their needs. But then when you stop being that resource for them, eventually they will fade away. And sometimes they will just be cut off completely. Especially if you find yourself in a needy place, what becomes very clear about subtractors and dividers is they are takers, not givers. And you become clear, it becomes clear to you when you're in a rough patch, you're going through a hard thing, and all of a sudden, they're nowhere to be found. And the Bible speaks to them pretty poignantly. We find in Psalm these words in chapter 38, my heart pounds, my strength fails me, even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay away from me. And I don't want to get too close, because that's negative energy. You might give me something that I don't need in my life, and they don't show up. They only show up when they have their needs in their journey. They're takers, not givers. And when you are no longer of service, then they will stay away, and they'll get their fix elsewhere. The fourth subtractor quality I speak about is persuasive tempters. Ever so subtly on that continuum, they draw you away from your very convictions, maybe even your morals, maybe even your values. When I was 17, the guy who cut my hair, he cut my hair through all my high school years. I really liked him a lot, but he asked me one day, he said, we would like to use your head of hair, you, for an ad in a promotion they were doing. Because when I was 17, I had cool hair. I had bouffant hair, I had big hair, and now I have little hair. But I look around and I see I have hair. Hair, why do we make such a big deal about hair? I don't know, but we do. This whole thing about hair, those were better days for me. They're long gone, which is fine. But I said, yeah, I'll do that. And they, as a result of that, said, we'd like to invite you to a party that we're having at our home. But their friends were not my friends, but I thought, well, that's neat. I'll go to the party. So I went to the party, and wow, there were drugs everywhere. I had never seen that kind of drug use, and I got uncomfortable. And then they were baking brownies with marijuana in them. And I didn't know you could do that, but you can. And they're pressuring me. You have to have one of these brownies. And of course, in my mind, I'm thinking there's only one brownie I want, and that's my Grandma Mabel's brownies. I'm not interested in any of their brownies. But I could feel this pull away from what my convictions were, my morals were along the way. And this is what happens. And we're told in advance that this indeed does happen. 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. It's so simple and so wise. Now, there's an understanding. My character is shaped by my faith, and I trust yours is too. My values are shaped by the person of Jesus Christ, and I trust yours are too. That Jesus Christ is the light of my soul, and I want him to be the light of the world, and I trust you do too. But when in the presence of company, what the Bible calls bad company, that is a company that might persuade you to move away from God rather than toward God, you have to pay attention to your soul. Because you get caught up. Bad company can be really fun company. And you go, what's wrong with fun? There's nothing wrong with fun. Without realizing it, you might be compromising your very convictions and your morals because of the influence of this company that the scripture gives this name, interestingly enough, as a bad company. Just quick little measurement for you. When you find yourself in such a situation, you know, I think it's okay to be present. But as the light of Christ who is in you, do you find that your presence is influencing people toward your convictions and values? Or do you find that being in their presence is drawing you away from the light of Christ and your conviction and values? Then you need to guard your heart and say, they may be fun people, but not the people I need to be with, because right now it's too great of a temptation. The fifth subtractor is big talkers. They may be big talkers about themselves. That's one style of big talking. They may be big talkers about their problems on the other end of it, where they just go on and on and on about their problems. It's all about them. They can't see that anybody else has a need. It's just all about their deal. Or it could be about, and I think this is especially true, the problems of others. They love to talk about people more than ideas. They talk about people in such a way that brings people down and elevates them. Proverbs 20 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Now, let me bring some clarity. We know through sociological research that women have a few more words than men to say. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about the content of the words when we talk too much about things that destroy rather than build up, when we enter to the world of gossip, because subtractors have what's called the LT disease, if you've not heard of it. It's called the loose tongue disease. And it just goes and goes and goes. Isn't it astonishing where somebody can come and you're in a group and you're having a nice conversation and all of a sudden they begin to talk about someone in a way that's derogatory, starts to bring that person down. And there's some recalibration of everybody in the group and then somebody adds in, well, I've noticed this too. And all of a sudden, all of you move into that realm. It's a dangerous thing, this kind of loose tongue that destroys rather than builds up along the way. And it's something that we have to pay attention to, big talkers. In fact, my son yesterday, he was over at our home, and all year he's been calling me about this colleague of his who's twice his age. He's in his early 20s. She's in her 40s. And he calls and he goes, every day, she's just got a new problem. And he would call me for counsel in the early days. Well, I said, consider this or consider that. And I go, it's been all year. They go on these breaks and it's da-da-da-da-da about everything that's wrong. And I said, finally, I said, just say to her, what are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about that problem? Get that problem solved and let's talk about another problem later on. And he said yesterday that on Friday, the last day of work there, he said, how's your day going? She says, I'm going to be more positive today. And he said, we met together for the break and 10 minutes into it, she just went south real quick. She got 10 minutes of sustainability and it was really, really hard. But big talkers can really be subtractors. The sixth subtractor is hot-tempered. Subtractors may have a bad temper, which you want to guard your heart with because you can get drawn into it. In fact, the Bible says, this is the vulnerability of it. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. In other words, by being around that kind of anger, one who's easily angered, something happens to you. They start to get angry, and after a while, even though you might not naturally be that kind of person, you respond in anger. They may get hot-tempered, and all of a sudden you find yourself getting hot-tempered just to stay with them. There's a contagion to this reality, so stay clear from someone who is hot-tempered because they can oppress you and mistreat you and devalue you and take advantage of others and make you fearful And all of a sudden you start to control your behavior around their dominance. The seventh subtractor quality that I included is tight-fisted. I wasn't going to include this one. It almost didn't make the list, but I thought there's a nuance that I want to include here from Proverbs 23:6. Do not eat the food of a begrudging host. Do not crave his delicacies, for he is the kind of person who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Just a subtle little nuance here. The person who says, join me for dinner, come and be with me, but on the inside of their head, they're thinking, I hope you say no. I really don't want you to come. My mouth says you're invited, but my heart says, I don't want you here. It's really a powerful perspective of a subtractor or an unsafe person. The person who says that all the right things to you with their lips, but they really don't want anything to do with you unless it has to do with them. And so this is really a hard one to discern, but if you pay attention, you can tell when people are giving lip service to the invitation to be with them and why, to the end that they're drawing something from you. But you can also feel a detachment when they don't really want you. They don't really value you, and you can feel it if you're paying attention to it, but you have to go beyond the lip service. And the eighth one is that they're always right. I said no elbows, they're always right. They just need to win. And they try to win in such a way that they're not teachable. That's the distinctive of it from Proverbs 13:10. Where there is strife, there is pride, that people are puffed up. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. A wise person is a teachable person. They seek to learn. The need to be right is just an attitude of superiority that elevates oneself over and against the people that they're with, because that's part of what they need for whatever reason. But in the process, they can make you feel lower about yourself, less than what they are. They can make you feel small in the kind of work that you do. They can make you feel small in terms of the religion that you have embraced or the church that you go to. They can make you feel small in the kind of politics that you embrace. Can you even talk openly about politics today without somebody being just condescending to you? We have unsafe dialogue around this all the time today. They just don't listen. They don't suspend their convictions. They don't respect that there are different ways of looking things. They can be unsafe, the puffed up person. These are some of the characters. Now, you can see where I was concerned about you wanting to take a rock. I know exactly who's in my life that needs to go. And here you go from Pastor Joel. But you're not going to do that. You're going to be on bended knee and say, Lord, teach me, were any of these qualities related to me or to somebody else? So the question is, what do subtractors take from you? By the way, they can be of every kind of personality. You can't be prescriptive with a subtractor or a divider, but they have one thing in common. They take from you. And what do they take from you? Just briefly, in summary, these things. They kill your confidence. They find little ways to make you feel small, shooting holes in your dreams and your goals, questioning your capacity, your ability, your skill to do anything well. You have to stop and listen. Is this person helping me or hurting me? Secondly, they deplete your energy, your resources along the way. You see their number show up on your phone and immediately the response is, oh no, do I pick up or not? Because this is going to be a long conversation. They're going to talk and talk and talk, and you're going to feel a subtraction. They're just going to, you know, cause your energy to be lessened in the journey. They leave you exhausted because they're trying to draw you into the drama of their story. So you have to discern between someone who really is in need of help and somebody who's just using you. See, we're called to help people. We're called to help people. But as we step into that place, we find that God works in it toward resolve. But when you have the addictive pattern of neediness with no resolve, then you have to raise the question about, is this just a relationship that's about being used? And then to burn up your time, that is, they waste your time. They just consume your time. As I said, they love the telephone, and they can talk for hours. They love to just show up your house sometime, which is fine. Sometimes you welcome that, but then sometimes it's a little bit inconvenient, and you would like the call. Sometimes they're hanging with you, and they watch you cook and clean and do everything and don't offer to help at all. They're users and takers at that point, but we're called to hold some kind of accountability, which I'll get into in just a brief moment. And then they keep you away from your relationships. They so control and dominate your space that they push out, as we discussed. friends from you, your life, where once they were, you know, adders and helped you grow. And the last one is they steal your joy. Man, subtractors get to be really hard to be around. It's hard to find lift because they're always pulling that joy factor in a spiral direction downward. So we're called to choose friends carefully. And there are important questions to ask. And I just have enough time to say a couple things about it, which I anticipated. So I put four resources at the bottom of your teaching notes from Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend: Safe People, Boundaries, Boundaries in Marriage, Boundaries with Kids. Great resources. They will help give you a compass to guide decision-making in light of what you've learned today. But I want to just raise a couple important questions because I know they're probably in your mind and you can go to those resources for some help, but I'll just speak briefly on each one. Number one, can safe people change? And I want you to hear this. Absolutely, they can change. Because if they can't change, we live in the hopelessness of this universe because there's unsafe everywhere. But we believe that God is the one who brings the best kind of change and that all of us can change. And I believe subtractors and dividers, when carefully confronted, can change. Sometimes very good people do unsafe things and they don't even know it. They're ignorant. And so part of it, Minnesota Nice folks especially. Some of you come from New York and the East Coast. No problem for you. Minnesota Nice folks. Sometimes we have to call out the behavior that is subtracting because they don't even know. They just bring it into the relationship. It's what they've known and nobody's called them out. You can do that with gentleness. I would think 90% of us would respond when somebody confronts us. I had no idea that I was doing that to you. And we can move forward with that. Change happens. But then there's foolish behavior too. They don't take the feedback because it doesn't always work. You can give feedback and they just don't take it. You particularly see that in addictive personalities or lifestyles. They're not going to change because of what you say. There's nothing you can say that caused them to change. There's an addictive nature to it. So they need limits and they need boundaries. And that's where those resources are profoundly helpful. And then there are people who are intentional subtractors and dividers who are trying to inflict harm simply for the sake of harming you. And if you're in that situation, you're unsafe. And you need to move toward safety and seek help from someone who could help you navigate, because it can be hard to leave when you're in that kind of a controlled, dominant kind of situation. We're glad to be a resource to you too if you're in that. The second question, how do you deal with a safe friend who becomes an unsafe friend? I can almost guarantee that all of you in your lifetime at one time had a friend that you said, man, they are a great friend. Something happens and all of a sudden there's drift and they become an unsafe friend. What do you do in that situation? Two things. If they are still present in your sphere, I encourage you to try to reconcile. The very thing that caused the separation and the subtraction may be such that you don't hang out anymore together, but at least be civil and try to have that kind of connection. It kind of builds in the second one too. Maybe they've left. They're not around anymore. They just left. They're part of the dividing. They just cut off. They're gone territory at this point. And I've had a few of those in my life where I go, wow, I thought we were such great friends, and they're just not there. I have made it a pattern in my life to at least try to reach out and make contact with that person. And I've had success in that. Nearly across the board, I've had success in it. Just, can we have a cup of coffee? Just process what happened there. And at the end of the day, we don't have to hang out on Friday night any longer, but I can see you in the grocery store and you don't have to hide down the healthcare aisle until the person leaves and say, you know, that's bad behavior. You need to act on that. You know why? Because someday we're going to be in heaven. If it's two Christ followers, we're going to be in heaven together someday. And you will walk down an aisle and all of a sudden you'll notice, oh, there you are, and there's no place for you to hide. I think Jesus has a waiting room for us to resolve earthly issues unresolved before we enter into the heavenly realm. I don't know what that looks like. That may be bad theology. I'm not quoting the scripture on that at all. But I just think let's bring heaven to earth now. I got to wrap this up. Are you a subtractor or a divider? If you heard this message and realized that you're a subtractor and maybe even a divider, confess that to the Lord. Repent. And get help so that you can move from being a subtractor to an adder. And that's the invitation for healthy friendship. Would you stand? We'll close together in prayer. Father God, give us this day our daily bread. That's what you gave to your son Jesus to teach us. Daily bread. Yes, for physical sustenance, but even for emotional well-being and even for spiritual sustenance. We need Jesus, the bread of life, every day in all of our journey. We confess that we are a sinful people, that we are inclined at times to subtract and even divide people. But you come into our life as holy and perfect. You are always the adder, always the uniter, and you invite us to receive you to the end that we move from being unsafe to safe people with healthy relationships that honor you, bring help to us, and bring light into the world. Thank you for the prayer that changes our very being on earth as we anticipate being made complete in the heavenly realm. To the glory of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.